This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are my
redemption. Thank you. Thank you that you are God. That you're above all. That you are in control. Overall in control. That you love us so much, that you want to be with us. Father, that your presence was already here before we came. That we can experience your presence, Father. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit is going to flow this afternoon. Your presence, Father. That we can experience your presence, that we can experience your Holy Spirit. Father, I bind anything what kept us busy earlier today or this week, that we can focus on you, that we can receive from you. And any spiritual door which is closed, which has got to receive, I open up now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that you can speak into the hearts, and those hearts where you've got to speak into. Father, I pray that the words what I'm going to say are not going to be my words, but that they're going to be your words, heavily, heavily loaded. Words which you have got for these people this afternoon, for us as a congregation. Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor. We worship you forever and ever. In Jesus' name. This is approximately 2 weeks ago that the Lord said to me, I've got to preach about look forward. And as time goes by, then he gives you pieces, and then at the final end you get your puzzle together. So I did my last thing yesterday evening, but it's finished now. And what I feel what the Lord was sharing, what he was giving to me, what I've got to share with you today. And what I'm inviting you to do is today is that we're going to have a look at the Israelites who left Egypt, went through the Red Sea, through the desert, through the Jordan, into the Promised Land. But we're not going to follow them like with a GPS or something like that, but we're going to spiritually have a look and see what is the spiritual meaning of it, or what actually happened over there. Now if we take a look at the map over there, there were approximately 2.5 million of the Israelites who left Egypt. Instead of walking, they could have done it in 11 days. I think, or maybe could have done it in 7 days because I've got longer steps. But they took 40 years. They took 40 years to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. And they had Moses leading them over there. So maybe they should have used TomTom instead of Moses. And maybe they would have been much faster over there. But at that time, they didn't have a TomTom. Not even a Tom. They only had Moses, and they followed Moses. But Moses followed what the Lord told him to do. And that's the most important thing. So they followed him. Because they moved away from a place in Egypt where they were under control. Meaning that they were under control of the suppressor. The Pharaoh and his people were controlling the Israelites. They only had to, and only could do what they had to do over there. They couldn't do anything else. And when they went through the Red Sea, they were not under control of the Pharaoh anymore. They walked out over there. And they went into the desert where they got, I nearly can say, their own control back again. They were themselves in control. They could take their own decisions. They could decide what to do. I nearly would say they can also decide what they were going to spend today. And in a spiritual way, we also see it when we go through the Red Sea, that if we repent and are being baptized, we also go through the Red Sea. We leave the enemy, the devil, we leave him behind. We're not involved with him anymore. We walk out. We go through the Red Sea. So that chapter is over. The enemy hasn't got, shouldn't have, any influence in our lives anymore, unless we are doing certain things that we've got an open door, that enemy still has got access. But about that, I'll speak a little bit later. And then from there, they went into the desert. But then they spent 40 years in the desert. And what was the main reason that they spent so long over there? And it was disobedience. They were not obedient to God's word. I want to read you a part out of Exodus 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter, and therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast the tree in the waters were made sweet. 3 days after they left Egypt, after walking through the Red Sea, after seeing the miracle that the Red Sea split it up, that they could walk through, after the 10 plagues, what they've seen, after they've seen the hand of God everywhere, it only took them 3 days. And then the trust in God was gone. They didn't have the trust in God anymore, because to whom did they walk to? They walked to Moses. And they complained to Moses, and they said, "Moses, what's happening now? What are we going to drink?" There wasn't the Jumbo. There wasn't the Albert Heijn over there. They couldn't go and buy quickly something around the corner. It's impossible. What shall we do? And then what is Moses doing? Moses is going to the place where you've got to go to, and that's to God. He went to God, and God says, "This is what you've got to do." Another miracle, and they could drink the water, and the problem was solved. As I was preparing this sermon, I felt that the Lord was also saying to me that in the congregation, there is a person who's complaining to other people about other people. But you're not bringing it to the Lord. You're not praying about it. You're not discussing it with the Lord. You're discussing it with other people about other people. If it is you, please take it home, sort it out. If you want to come for prayer afterwards, feel free. But that's what I felt what the Lord was putting on my heart when I was busy with that sermon. Because this is what the Israelites did over there. They started complaining between each other instead of going to the Lord. And then the Lord is telling them in the same verse of directly afterwards, it starts also with 25. "Then he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I've brought unto the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.'" God is telling them what they've got to do. Listen to God, heed his voice, listen to him and follow him. Don't follow your own mind, but follow what God is telling you to do. And then he finishes off and he says, "I am the Lord who heals you." God is busy with them. God is telling them, "I'm busy with healing you." God is busy with us continuously, what we just now heard from Mark as well. God is busy with us. We are in a process. We're not finished. We'll never be finished. We are continuously carrying on with improvement. God is with them. They could see it each and every day. God was with them during the day as a cloud to cover them. Because if you walk in the desert over there, you're not going to last in the sun. The cloud was covering them. At night, there was a light. God's presence was always there. God gave them food as well. So they could see that the presence of God was each and every time there. They just had to look around and they could see it. We sometimes battle a little bit with it. When we look around in our area, then we do not actually see God. But if you take a look at a tree and the leaves and the flowers and so on, and you see all these things have been created by God, then it's a miracle. If you speak to people who are doing a little bit of research, even where the body is concerned, it's just one big miracle. It's made by God. We can see the presence of God everywhere. The Israelites could also see it. Exodus 13, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So he was involved with them each and every day. We serve a God who wants to be with us each and every day. God hasn't got a long weekend. He hasn't got holidays. He hasn't got a power failure. He's got nothing. He's always available. It's up to us if we want to go to him or not. And then as they went through the desert, now they entered the promised land, the land which was promised already to Abraham, and that they could walk into the promised land over there. Only two people of those 2.5 million, more or less, who left Israel, or who left Egypt, entered the promised land. It was Joshua and Caleb. Those were the only two people. The others, they didn't make it. They all died. It's actually a little bit strange. So you're walking for the rest of your life to get to the promised land, but you never reach your promised land. You die before that. But it happened. And what happened when they went through the Jordan is that they basically, we can compare it, that they are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because where they were under control in Egypt, they could take their own decisions in the desert. But if you're spirit-filled, you give all your control to God. You say, God, it's all you. I don't want to take the decisions in my life anymore. You are in control. It's not me anymore. It's all about you. If we take a look at the Israelites, as they were standing on a border there with the river of Jordan to go through the Jordan, the Levites who were carrying the ark were in front of them. Now, I can tell you that if I had to be one of those Levites, and Joshua was saying to me, you've got to lift the ark and you've got to walk through that water, I most probably would have thought twice. And if they said, okay, you've got to queue up, we're going now through the Jordan, now I most probably would have said, sorry, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, which is the last one. Let the Judah tribe go first, and then I'll just check and see how they are doing through the Jordan, and then maybe I'll come and follow them afterwards. And I think most of us would have done exactly the same. We would have been a little bit hesitant. But these people picked up the ark and did what God told them to do. They didn't think twice, obeyed. They also consecrated themselves before that. So they prepared themselves before doing what the Lord told them to do. Joshua 3, verses 14 to 17. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the water which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away from Adam, the city that is beside Seretan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arab, the salt seal, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over the dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. The Holy Spirit, being spirit-filled, is for all. It's not limited to a few lucky people. It is available for all. As all of them could cross the Jordan, being filled with the Holy Spirit is available for all. It's for us to decide. Do we want to go through it? Do we want to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or are we going to stay at the site and say, no, it's not for me? And then they moved into the promised land. And when we move into the promised land, and when we are being spirit-filled, we give all the control over to God. We continuously communicate with God. We speak with God. We ask God what we've got to do. And we follow his word. It's not anymore that we say, okay, it's now December. Before the 31st, I'm going to have a plan for next year, and this is my plan. No. We go to God. We say, God, here is 2019. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to operate next year? Because it's not my year, it's your year. It's not my life, it's your life. How do you want me that I should live? This is totally contrary of what the world is saying. It will come to it just now. And it's about an obedience to God. Listen what God is telling us to do. But what is God actually giving to us? What was he giving to the Israelites when they walked out of Egypt, they walked through the desert and into the promised land over there? What did they get? They got a land over there where they could operate. And God is giving us also, we've been singing it just now, he's giving us a freedom. If we are being spirit-filled, if we walk through that Jordan, if we ask for the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we get a freedom. And that's a freedom which is enormous, which gives us, I should say, such a pleasure, such a joy, because we know that we are in God and we can follow him. But God is giving us also a status. When we go through that Red River, we become a son of his. We can call him his father. And if we go then through the Jordan as well, we also get an authority what we can use. The authority what we can read about in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any mean hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in it that the spirit are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The enemy, the devil, we can call him different names. He's trying at least two things. The first thing is that you're not going to have any contact with Christianity, that you are going to become a Christian, that you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's his first target. If you become a Christian, then the enemy is continuously trying to put you on a non-active as far as possible, that you are not going to build God's kingdom. That's what the enemy is trying to do. And a lot of times, we unfortunately are in situations that we are bound, that we cannot be used by God for his kingdom. As a result of our sins, could be sins of our ancestors as well, but we are bound. That's what we're going to have with deliverance as well. With the deliverance, we are going to have a look and see, what is it? What is keeping you back? And that we can be delivered from that, that we can be freed from that, and that we can be used for God's kingdom as God wants to use us. The enemy is continuously busy. He's trying to, first of all, stop us, that we're not going to have contact with the gospel. But if we, like I said, if we make contact with the gospel, then he wants to have us in a parking bay, that we cannot be used for God's kingdom. If we are in a promised land, we're waiting for the day of the Lord. This is what they are doing, the Israelites. Peter is talking about it in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 to 18. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in a holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. They were looking forward to it. They were looking forward to the day of the Lord, when Jesus is going to come back. That will be the second coming of Jesus, the first coming of Jesus, that he is a savior. He wants to save the whole world. The second coming of Jesus is going to be as a judge. Then there's no time anymore. Then it's a matter of yes or no. Let me carry on reading over there. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these three things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. God is looking for us that we continuously busy with that process of becoming spotless and blameless. that we're going to be purified, that we are in a process of getting growth. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Here Peter is talking about Paul writing letters. Paul was most probably a reasonable, educated, and after spending a lot of time with the Lord in the desert, he has been downloaded a lot of stuff as well. And Peter, a fisherman, and then read what he says about Paul. And also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. So Peter was battling what Paul has been writing over there. He said hard to understand, which unthought and unstable people twist to their destruction, and they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away from the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And he's saying over there, grow. So when we are in a day, the day of the Lord, when we are where the Israelites were in a promised land, if we cross the river as well, if we've been spirit-filled, we continuously have got to grow. It's not a matter that we say, we've reached it, we've made it, now we can sit back and we can wait for the second coming of Jesus. No, we still grow. We still have got to work on ourselves. We've got to be busy with it. Peter's referring to Paul. And the one part what I want to just now have a look at is a part which has been written by Paul, which is about the Holy Spirit. And it is in Romans 8. And Romans 8 is seen as the chapter of the Holy Spirit. And the first Roman letter of the first Roman chapters, he's building up to 8 before he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the main question is, are we controlled by the flesh, or are we controlled by the Spirit of God? Which is in control in our lives? What are we allowing to take control in our lives? And he starts with it as well. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm reading this part now because he's continuously talking about the Spirit and the flesh, the Spirit and the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. If we are continuously thinking of what the world is doing, we're not prepared to look up. He's saying of you, it's death. It stops. But if we are prepared to go to God, as what Moses was communicating with God as well, then there's life, eternal life. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And now here comes a sentence which is very harsh and very crude maybe, but it's straightforward. And this is maybe the verse in the Bible which explains it the most. When are we saved? Or when are we not saved? If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Harsh. Straightforward. No questions. There it is. If we're not spirit-filled, if we haven't got the Spirit of God in us, we are not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is a very clear statement, what Paul is making over here. What is important? We must have the Spirit of Christ in us. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, in the same verse, just above it, it says the Spirit of God dwells in us, in you. There we can see how important it is that he's putting the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ in the same sentence over there. How important the Holy Spirit is part of God Trinity. Unfortunately, the Holy Spirit, because it's not seen, it's not been experienced, has been pushed away. People are not allowing the Holy Spirit to work through them. And that type of not being open for the Holy Spirit is not always necessary linked to a certain church or to a certain belief. There are spirit-filled people who go to the Catholic Church. There are spirit-filled people who go to other churches. We've got spirit-filled churches as well. We've got people in the church who are not spirit-filled. We've got everything. But the critical is, who is in control? Is God's Spirit in our life in control? Or are we ourselves in our control? In our spirit part, we walk through the Red Sea. We repented of the life what we've been doing. We went into the desert. Then we walk through the Jordan to be spirit-filled. But when we walk through the Jordan, we give total control to God. We're not controlling our lives anymore. We're allowing the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, to walk through us, to live through us. There are two ways of doing it. We can accept it, or we can reject it. We can run with it, or we can run away with it. From it, we say, no, it's not for me, pass. I don't want to be spirit-filled. I don't want to be that God is in control. I want to be in control. God has given me a head, and I will want to use that head. It took me quite a few years in my life before I realized that I've got to take my head, I've got to take it off, I've got to put it underneath my arms, and I just have got to trust the Lord and just do what he's speaking into my life. Because if I've got to start thinking about it and try to do it logically, I wouldn't have been standing over here. This is the worst investment what I've ever made in my life, this church. But if God tells you something to do, you're obedient. None of us would have raised our hand if the job of Moses would have been vacant to say, okay, I'll do it. None of us. I can guarantee you. All of you would have said, sorry, I've got something else to do. Or no, I'll look for another job. But to be open and to say, God, work through me. To let the Holy Spirit work through me for the benefit of other people. Because if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're also going to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit which can work through us. Werner has got a feeling for healing, praying for people, for other people to get healed. That is one which God has given to him. Another one gets a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, discerning of spirits, quite a few of those gifts. And God is giving us to us. But we've got to go to God. We've got to say, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As what I said with the communion as well, we've got to open up our hands and say, Lord, I want to receive it from you. But what I do as well, I totally surrender my life to you. And if you say, yes, I want to pray for other people to be healed, and you walk in the street and you see somebody in a wheelchair and the Lord is telling you, you must pray for that person, then you pray for that person. And that person has maybe already seen 10 or 15 years in a wheelchair. It doesn't matter. You pray for that person. Because God is telling you. It's awkward things. And in my own life, I'm sometimes battling with it as well. Then it's creeping in again. And I start thinking logically. But then quite soon I realize, wait a moment. I'm trying to do things on my own way. and I've got to stop the bus. I repent of it and say, Lord, tell me. And sometimes the Lord will tell me, wait, I'll tell you later, or ask for me at the end of the month again. It's fine. But I want to do what God wants me to do. John Piper summarized it of what we shouldn't do if we want to be spirit-filled, if we want to walk in God's way. Of what we shouldn't do, what we should do. And he says over there, it means praying without ceasing, so which means continuously communicating with God. Like I said, God is always available. Hiding God's word in your heart and meditating on it day and night. Because that word is so rich, there's so much in it what we can read between Genesis and Revelations. Exhorting one another every day, not only from Monday till Friday, every day exhorting one another. Taking up your cross daily, not only over the weekend or cancel it when you're on leave, no. Each and every day, take up your cross. Reckoning yourself dead to sin, putting to death the deeds of the body, plucking out the eye of lust, fleeing fornication, cutting off the hand of covetousness, and yielding your members as instruments of righteousness, and presenting your body as a living sacrifice, putting on the armor of God, resisting the devil, and taking every thought captive to obey Christ. If we read that and if we go through that, then we say, quite a few where I'm failing. Don't worry, you can grow in it. That's what God wants us to do. We should grow in it. We're never going to be perfect, but we can grow in it. I want to finish off with, we are looking forward. We're looking forward to the day of the Lord when He's going to come back. Because if we've got a relationship with God, we're looking forward to that. That we can be with God in heaven forever and ever. The Israelites were looking forward to the promised land. But in the promised land, it's not a matter of that you're going to stand and wait then till the end is coming near. No, you're busy. And it's the same with us. If we walk through that Jordan, if we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, then we say, yes, we are prepared to work for God's kingdom. We are prepared to let the Holy Spirit flow through us, that other people can be touched and that other people can be reached. It's a crucial question what we've got, which is asked this afternoon, based on that one verse. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. We've got to decide, which side do we want to be? We've got to make that decision. Once, somewhere in our lives, we've got to make that decision. Maybe this afternoon, maybe next week. But we cannot wait with it, because it's urgent. God is a gentleman. He's not forcing himself down. God wasn't forcing the people through the Jordan. He was leading them. But he gave all the option to all the people to say, yes, am I going to follow? Or am I going to stand on the sideline over there? The Holy Spirit is available for all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a part which a lot of churches try to move away from. If we're talking about Holy Spirit, if we're talking about deliverance, then it sounds very spooky. And they try to move away from it and as far as possible because it's difficult to understand. But it's in the Bible. And we cannot run away from it. It is crucial that we make that decision. Are we going to allow the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we prepared to surrender all control to God? Or do we want to keep it ourselves? That we move on in the flesh and we haven't got the Spirit in us. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you want to be involved in our lives, but that we've got to open up the door and allow you in our lives, that you can take control of our lives, that we can surrender control to you, Father, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you spoke again to us this afternoon, Father, that you reminded us again how much you want to give to us, that we can have authority over all the powers of the enemy. You're giving it to us. But we've got to come to you. We've got to make that step closer to you, and then you will come closer to us, Father. Thank you, Father, that you're God, that you're above all, and that we can worship and praise your name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.